Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John. Pastor Bill just read the Gospel of John, but let's go to 1 John, and I want to give you something that I want to be able to help you. It's a great crowd, and always there are people, and I do know there are people struggling with their eternal security. I want to give you some Bible this morning, and trust it'll be a great help to you, because if you don't know for sure that your feet are firmly planted on heaven's soil, you don't understand the Word of God, the fact that when a man gets born again or a woman gets born again, they're as good as in heaven already. Heard a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. If you have doubts concerning your salvation, doubts concerning your eternal security, can Jesus really save a sinner that is black and fallen in their sin and at the same time repents and receives Christ as their Savior? Is that Jesus, is that grace that is given to us by Jesus Christ, is that really enough to overcome my personal sin and get me safely home to heaven? And I want to tell you, I'll give you a sound amen. It is. And I want to share scripture with you this morning. Trust that it will be a blessing to you. And I do pray you had a good Thanksgiving. We did. Certain traditions you have in Thanksgiving around our house. We get together as family, sit around. Actually, we can't all sit at one table, so we're scattered everywhere. But we stand and we say grace and give God thanks for His many blessings to us and to our family. We eat our meal, and then we watch the Detroit Lions break our heart. Happens every Thanksgiving, where they look like they're going to win, and they somehow snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory time and time again. And just reminds me how good my God is. I'm glad my salvation isn't dependent upon any event here on this earth. It's found in the person, Jesus Christ. What a great God we serve. What a wonderful salvation we have in Christ. Man, it's all of God. It's all of grace. I want to make much of Jesus this morning. I want to take some Bible. We're going to look at the entire first chapter of 1 John, and I'm going to try to just drive it home, this no-so salvation. And you know what? If we don't have a Redeemer, we have no hope. If we don't have a Savior, and His name is Jesus, if we don't have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, man, there is no hope, because we're pitiful people. There's some things I don't understand in life, but I'll tell you one thing I got nailed right down, and that's the doctrine of eternal life. I know what the Word of God teaches. I've read and studied the other side, those that say you can lose your salvation. It's not there. Not in Scripture. Not without manipulating and massaging complete texts of Scripture. There's only about three of them. And they completely take it out of context. You understand, when you're in Christ, you're seated in heavenly places. You are as good as in heaven already. And it's a good thing that Jesus didn't leave it up to us, because we're pitiful people. I can't go too long before I let God down. Some of you are here Wednesday night and you heard about my little event. One of the three stupidest things I've ever done in my life, I performed. I did this last Tuesday. Went out for breakfast with my brother Bud, and we were eating at a restaurant in the Sioux, and ordered our breakfast, and I wanted to butter my pancakes before he prayed so that the butter would melt into the pancakes real nice. You know how that is. And so I buttered it, and they'll say, okay, butter, I'm ready. And he prayed. And well, anyway, they gave us our coffee in these clear cups. You see right through the cups. You've seen those glass cups. See right through them. So they were just sitting right there. And while I was praying, she brought the syrup in a clear container and set it right there. And after he prayed, I'm ready to eat. And I grabbed the syrup and I'm pouring it on here. And I'm actually muttering audibly enough that Bud doesn't know what I'm saying, but he knows I'm muttering. And what I'm muttering is, man, for a restaurant, this is the weakest syrup I have ever seen. You know? And then I picked it up, and I picked up my pancake. I'm going to pour it on the second one, and it ran right down the cup and down on the table. I said, not only that, they don't have a spout on the syrup container here. And I started to pour it. And not only that, they put it in a coffee cup. And as soon as I thought that, I thought, you idiot. I put a whole cup of coffee in two pancakes, just kind of soaked them up. The waitress comes by. She didn't see me. And Bud and I are laughing so hard. This is the honest truth. He'll tell you this. Same version of the story. By the time we got to eating our breakfast, both breakfasts were just completely cold. You know, I mean, the waitress says, you want a refill? I said, yes, I do. I'm just pitiful. If it were not for God, man, if it were not for Jesus making a way for sinners to get to heaven, man, just a pitiful. This doctrine of eternal life, though, I got it. My mind's like a steel trap. It is. It's, you know, it's rusty and illegal in 37 states. But I got this down right here, right now. Look what it says in 1 John. And here's the deal. Once you get born again, listen to me. If you're a man here and you're struggling with this, you're a lady here and you're struggling with this, truth is, children don't struggle with it too much. But if you're struggling with this because you, and there's reasons for it, I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Let me read through this first chapter and preach just a little bit. And then I'm going to preach a few points and try to make it crystal clear. Listen, if there was a time and there was a place, you got born again, and it was Jesus that provided the salvation. It was Jesus that paid the price for your sin 2,000 years ago. If it was that Jesus that you've trusted, and you were sorry, you repented of your sin, and you asked Jesus to come into your life, and you asked him to come into your heart, best way you knew how, you prayed and said, God, I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me. Come into my heart and be my Savior. If all you said was like the man in the New Testament, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, as he beat his chest. If that's all, but you were convinced, it was a heart thing, a heart salvation. You got born again right there. That's not cheap salvation. Jesus paid a tremendous price for your soul and for my soul. This morning, I am not minimizing the evilness of man. This morning, I am emphasizing the greatness of God. Salvation is of Christ. Salvation is of Jesus. I am in no ways minimizing the wickedness of sin, but I am emphasizing the greatness of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm going to heaven. Look what it says here in 1 John and chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That's in his Son, Jesus. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There's intimacy there. The reader of this epistle of 1 John that is born again is invited to have an intimate relationship with John, with the apostles, with the first century church, with our Savior, Jesus Christ, with God the Father, with God the Holy Spirit. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light, righteousness. Darkness, ignorance. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, talking about the carnal Christian, that's what John is addressing, we lie and do not the truth. The Son, let me say this before I develop this. The son that disobeys his father is still his father's son. He's disobedient. But he's still his father's son. When I was reading this morning, I was thinking about Trigvi. Even though he is a Green Bay Packer fan, he is still your son. Amen? Amen. And I tell you what, he didn't get that Green Bay Packer stuff from the Raiders side of the family. I want you to know that. But he's still his son. On game day, he wears a Green Bay Packer jersey. Did a good job with Hayden, by the way. All right? Okay. Verse 6 again says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now he says, if we say that we have no sin, in case someone is misreading this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's self-deception. You see, everybody's a sinner. Everybody is a sinner. For anybody that says he is not a sinner, you're calling God a liar, and you're self-deceived. If we confess our sins, I love verse 9, can't wear it out. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession, acknowledging and repenting of my sin equals forgiveness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, chapter 2, let me read just a couple of verses and then I'm going to get to what I'm preaching this morning. In the context, here's what John is writing. He's writing to first century Christians, and they got a sin problem, just like we do today. And when you get born again, that sin problem is taken care of. You're forgiven. Your name is recorded. It's washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanseth us from all sin, past, present, and future. All sin. It's all taken care of. Now our standing, our position is in Christ. Now we're seated in heavenly places. We can rejoice that our name is written down. So, but there's still a problem because I still have sin. I haven't received my glorified body. I'm not yet in heaven. I still deal with the old Tim Rader. He's there on a regular basis. Verse 1, chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Now the reason I'm giving you the word of God is so that you don't sin. There's no excuse for sin. You're never going to be sinless here on this earth, but you will sin less if you're in the word of God. So you will grow and become more and more like Jesus. I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, because we're going to, we have an advocate, a helper, a defense attorney. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So I still have sin, even after I'm born again. But I'm still my Father's son. I was adopted into his family. You cannot abort yourself from the family of God. You cannot be unborn once you are born. That is a law of God. That's the way it is. And when I was born anew, born from above, born of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Once I was born into the family of God, I can't be unborn. I can't abort myself. That doesn't eliminate life. I cannot abort myself from the family of God. You say, preacher, but I got problems. We all got problems. Every once in a while you hear of a preacher who falls into immorality. By the way, I heard this. I didn't check it out yet, but I heard it from a very reliable source. The guy that, I don't even know the names of these guys, the cell phone guy, he was asked a question, how young should your children be? When should we give our children their first cell phone? And his answer, when you want your child exposed to pornography, that's when you do it. There's your decision. Boy, that's a powerful thing. But when you get born again, you are born into the family of God. Cannot be unborn. A preacher falls into immorality. Whole church is hurt, is broken. A woman who was once a bubbling witness, for some reason is hurt, and then grows bitter and becomes destructive. A man receives Christ who had a problem with alcohol, gets born again, he's a new creation. Stands tall for God, but every day at work, his buddies are inviting him out for a drink after work. He eventually gives in, and he sins. What happens next? In all three instances, they do not lose their salvation. They break fellowship with God. Once you're his son and God's daughter, you cannot lose your sonship. You are still a member of the family of God, but your fellowship is broken. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10, the text that Pastor Bill read. John in chapter 10. Verse 27, 1 Peter 1, 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God. Without going in all kinds of 100 different verses, 100 different directions, Galatians tells us, man, we are saved by grace. The book of Galatians is a defense of the gospel of grace. Not a license to sin, but a defense of the gospel of grace. Oh, let me say something about that real quickly. Because every once in a while I hear it from people on the outside that don't really understand sometimes what Fundamental Baptist Church is all about. You Baptist people, you think you can get born again and then you have a license to sin and you can do whatever you want. Not so. That is not what the Bible teaches. That is not what is preached and taught here in this ministry. I will tell you this. You get born again, you're a son of God, you're a child of God, a daughter of God. You sin, God keeps a short leash. And you know, and there's going to be chastisement. But you don't have a license to sin. That's just completely wrong-headed. As a matter of fact, I can think of some denominations and that's how they are. You know, you just go and confess your sin and everything's good again, you know. And that's not how, but we have a one-time salvation. That's a wonderful truth. You do not lose your salvation. John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and follow me. That is salvation. And I give unto them eternal life. It's a gift, and it's eternal life. And they shall, what's that next word? Never. Never. What do you think Jesus meant when he said never? Never. He's not going to change his mind. It's never going to change. It's always going to be that way. From now throughout the eternity, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man, self included, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It goes on and teaches more there. But Jesus said, those that are born again, they're my sheep. I know them. They follow me. That's evidence of salvation. That is not the reason for salvation. That's evidence of salvation. They follow me. I know them, and they shall never perish. John chapter 6 and verse 37, all the Father giveth to me cometh to me, and him that cometh to me, Jesus said this, I will in no wise cast out. Never. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, reading about the bema seat of Christ, Christians that stand before God, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad, all right? So the bema seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, there will be those that stand before Jesus at the bema seat of Christ, and in their whole life they did nothing for God. That's not a good work salvation. And yet, they're born again. They go to heaven. It's not performance works-based salvation. It's all of grace. You don't lose your salvation when you sin. You do lose your joy. Every Christian knows this. Go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Say, I used to be so in love with God. It's just like something's missing. I'll tell you what's missing. Your joy. And the reason the joy is missing is you're guilty of sin, unconfessed sin. And you might be enjoying it. Writer Hebrews says there's pleasure in sin, but for a season. The dog always returns to his vomit. There's an emptiness on the inside, and it's not because Christ is not there. It's because you've shamed Christ. Even the great king of Israel, David, Psalm 51 and verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. God can make it right again. God can give you joy again, and he will give you joy. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, that fellowship is broken when we're guilty of sin. Please understand that. Here's what happens when a Christian sins. You don't lose your salvation. You do lose your joy. And when you sin, at least initially, there's conviction. That's that knot in the pit of your stomach where you know what you're doing is wrong and you feel guilty. You feel wrong about it. Matthew chapter 26. Turn over there. Matthew and chapter 26. I'll not read it. I'll not read all of it because it's quite lengthy, and I'll just summarize this. Peter said, Jesus, I'll die with you. And it was just hours later he forsook Christ. Jesus told him he was going to do that. He said, before the cock crow, you'll forsake me. Before morning. And he did. Verse 69, Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. And he denied him, and he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear. Yeah, this is Peter. Saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Here's conviction. And he went out and wept bitterly. Bitterly. That's evidence of salvation, by the way. Conviction. What happens when a Christian sins? A born-again believer? They don't lose their salvation. They lose their joy. They walk with God. There's conviction. The Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin. And if the Holy Spirit lives within the heart of the believer, and he does, he convicts us when we do wrong. It's conviction. John chapter 16 and verse 18. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. I hope you've not gotten over that. Let's just stop for a moment, real quick, spiritual time out, in your heart with no one else, where no one else can see. Have you gotten to the place as a child of God where you sin and it don't bother you? You woefully need to come back to Christ. Because here's what happens when a Christian sins. They don't lose their salvation, they lose their joy. They're convicted. If the conviction doesn't work, see, the Holy Spirit will whisper, and if that's all it takes, he's a good God. He's good with that. But if that doesn't work, there's chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. Would you turn there, please? Hebrews 12 and verse 6. I pray all the time, I'm praying this, God, help me to know what to preach and how to preach it. And I try to preach the whole counsel of God. The truth is, if you don't come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you're not getting everything that God has laid on my heart. Not that I'm the big kahuna, I'm not. But, you know, I'm the under-shepherd, and God kind of leads the flock as a whole this way. And, you know, tonight's just a completely different message, and it's good Bible doctrine right out of Revelation chapter 22, that, you know, the final words of Christ to the church. But this morning, and I do know, because we continue to see people get saved, and sometimes people wrestle with this, and you say, man, I have doubts all of the time. Well, it could be that you're guilty of sin and a sin is not confessed, and somehow you think that you're going to somehow be perfect here in this world. You need to understand, I'm not making an excuse. I'm not giving you a crutch. I'm not doing that. But I am saying this, you're still a sinner. You still have that old nature. Don't use it as a liberty to the flesh. That's what Paul said to the believers in Galatia. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Here's the deal. There's no such thing as free sin. As a child of God, here's a lot of outsiders don't understand. It's salvation by grace. It's all of Jesus. I'm a preacher of grace. I get to preach the gospel. And tell anybody, whosoever will may come. You just got to be serious. You need to repent of your sin and ask Jesus to save you, and you get born again. That's wonderful. But now you don't have a license to go out. You know what? You don't own your life anymore. You're redeemed. You belong to the Master. He's got the best things planned for you. You've got an eternal home waiting for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. God knows exactly what it's going to take to make you even joyful and happy on this earth, in this battle in which we're living. Don't believe the devil's lie. Don't go running off to something else. If you do turn your back on him because he loves you, like any good father would, he's going to correct you. You won't get away with sin. If you do get away with sin, you're not born again. That's what's going on there. And you need to be, you say, oh man, I got saved when I was 4 years old. Did you? Now, if that puts doubts in your heart, then maybe you're not born again. But I know this, God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm born again. I feed my faith every day by reading the scriptures. I know what God's book says, and I know that's why I'm going to heaven. The imputed righteousness of Christ. It's all of grace. Don't doubt your salvation. I still sin. And I still have struggles. I still live life here on this earth. You think Pastor Rader's life is perfect? Man, you've got to be kidding. It's exciting, I'll tell you that. But I struggle just like everybody else. When a Christian sins, they don't lose their salvation. They lose their joy. When a Christian sins, there's conviction. A Christian, Holy Spirit living within. That's wrong. You know that's wrong. And there's conviction. Push it off, push him away, kick Christ, kick the Holy Spirit to the curb, then there's chastisement. I'll tell you this, with all of the authority of the Scripture, you're not bigger than God. Your will is not stronger than God's will. You don't even know what is good for you. There's a good God in heaven, and thank the Lord he does chastise us. Thank God he keeps us close. His strong hand of correction is a loving hand. And he's there for us all of the time. no such thing as free sin. You say, preacher, why is everything falling apart? Well, that might be a good indicator you're born again. Everything's falling apart and you're not following him. That makes sense to me. But then there's confession. Let's go back to 1 John again. 1 John. By no means, I didn't even read everything here in Hebrews, of course, but chapter 1 and verse 9, 5 through 9, confession. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that's the carnal, lying Christian. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Self-deception. If we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin ruins that sweet fellowship that we have in Christ. But if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I was born in 1957, born in the flesh. I was born again in 1968. The flesh is going to die. That which is spiritual shall live. I'm going to live forever. It's because of God. It's because the Holy Spirit came and indwelt me. And he promises never to leave me, nor to forsake me. I have the mark of God, the seal of the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful truth, this truth of eternal life. I know multiplied dozens of Christians that aren't serving God today, and there's one of two reasons. One, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll make this very quick. Chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, they're useless. They're useless because they are dead to the things of God. I don't know how I want to say this. I don't want to say it in two different ways. So scratch everything, or rewind everything I said in the last two sentences, all right? All the way back. Jesus Christ is our salvation. Jesus Christ, when we do sin, is our advocate. He's our mediator. When God saved me, he knew I was still going to sin. When I got saved in 1968, he knew Tim Rader was still going to be committing sin all the way up to now, the year 2018. But I'm just as saved today as I was in 1968 because I was born of the Spirit of God. It's grace. And I'm secure. I'm in Christ. And I'm not doing a good job preaching this thought this morning, but let me just kind of wrap it up by saying this. When you get born again, it's forever. It's forever. When your name is written down, it's forever. It's not performance-based. You got saved by grace, not of works. You don't have to keep to do works to stay saved. But if you're truly born again, you're going to do some good works because we're appointed unto good works. It's a no-show salvation. I preached this morning specifically for several, and I know it's good for all of us to hear it. You need to know this. It isn't God kicks you out of this family. You can't be spiritually aborted from the family of God. Once you're born again, you'll be his son, you'll be his daughter forever. You do wrong, he's going to correct it. That's what a loving father does. Be thankful.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.